All right, church, I have a quick message for you. I say quick. Quick to me, it may not be quick to you. We'll see. I want to give you my sermon title, which is You've Been Served. And now, I don't mean that in a harsh way. We're going to talk about another ministry in our church, which is serving. And I love our serve teams. By the way, let's just celebrate a few of our serve teams. Coffee teams, coffee people. Oh, yes. Everybody loves you. I mean, you give us free coffee, and so that's easy, easy, easy. Our kids ministry leaders and ministry, oh, man. Our setup team. Breakdown team. Worship teams. Tech team. Oh, my gosh, you're amazing. Ushers. Woohoo! Greeters, parking lot, I don't know. And whoever sets up these chairs, you're my favorite because I like straight chairs and they're always so straight. Awesome, awesome. If I missed your area, not on purpose. That just shows you we have so many people involved in serving. So today isn't out of desperation, but it is to help involve you in the area of serving. I went to Walmart not too long ago. Anybody had a trip to Walmart lately? Walmart's always an experience. Walmart's huge, as you know. Everything from groceries to garden stuff, you know. And so I went there to get some storage moving boxes. Now, we're not moving. It was for our illustration that we had during the Fight Me. You remember that Fight Me message I had? We had some boxes. And so I needed some boxes, went to Walmart. And, of course, I have no idea, you know, where the boxes are at Walmart. And so I went back to the giant TVs to look there. They weren't there. I went over to the PlayStation consoles and looking for storage boxes there, weren't there. They weren't over by the golf balls. I was over there and couldn't find them there. We even went in the tool section just because I'm manly. I have to go to the tool section. That's what we do. Garden section, no boxes. So finally I thought, well, I'm going to get a little help. So I started looking for an employee. You've done that before. I'm not kidding you. 10 minutes to find somebody that worked there. Now, I asked a lot of people, but they didn't work there, and they just thought I was weird. But finally found a nice little lady, and I'm like, where are the moving storage boxes? She goes, oh, yeah, I think it's over by stationery. I'm like, all right, are you sure? Like, moving box? Yeah, yeah. I'm like, all right. So took me a while to find the stationery. I found greeting cards, which was great. I should have gotten one that says, you know, will you forgive me? Because that would have been a great illustration for the Fight Me, you know, series. But so I couldn't find the boxes. So I finally went back up front. And, you know, you get frustrated after a while, like trying to find stuff in a big store, and found a lady. And she said the greatest thing. She said these two words. She said, follow me. I was like, oh, yes. We made it to the storage boxes. I wanted to hug her. I thought she might think it was weird, so I didn't. But I wanted to because, I mean, you know, somebody helps you. It's great. So I got my moving boxes, and I was headed back up to the cashiers. And, you know, there's 20, you know, places to check out. How many cash registers were open? One. I'm like, really? One. With a long line. And I was just thinking that you know, I mean, they have a big building, they have a great location, great prices, they had what I needed, but poor service always kills the experience. So here's my thought for us today. Service is always the key to a great guest experience. Our church, listen, we have a great location. It's awesome. We're so blessed. Sometimes I think we think about setup and we think about what the future with our new building. I love all that. And we forget really how good we have it. I mean, we have air conditioning. We have chairs. Now, they're not cushiony and helping you there. But we have chairs. We're blessed. Our kids' spaces are amazing. So we have so many great things. Now, I think it would be inappropriate to say we have the best product because, I mean, Jesus, that's like, but we have the greatest message ever. the message of Jesus Christ. And so what I'm asking for us to do today is to level up our service some, to take it to the next level. We're good. We're great. Listen, I'm not complaining one bit. I love our volunteers. You guys are amazing. Your hearts, you blow me away with your faithfulness. It's great. But what I'm asking for us today is to involve more people in the serving ministry today. And so I'm just putting it on the screen right here. Check this little point out. My church needs my service. Kind of blunt, kind of to the point. Amen. Everybody clap that out and go, hey, I'm in. So awesome. Hey, let me tell you, a church is a family and it's a mission at the same time. It's a family and a mission. A family, because we think in family because we know that we have a spiritual father. We are sons and daughters of the spiritual father, God. We've been adopted into his family. So we're a family. A family is who we are as a church. This is for us. We're also a mission because Jesus gave us the Great Commission. And we are to be doing. So we have to be and do. There's a place in a church for be and do. A mission is who we are in the city for others. A family is a community. It's a place where we belong. It's where we pray for one another. We love one another. We forgive one another. We encourage one another. It's relationships. It's a place where we're fed. I mean, we should be fed. We should be ministered to. That's important. Everybody needs to be fed and ministered to. It's also a mission, though, and that's about serving others. It's about evangelism, outreach, the egg extravaganza. It's mission project. It's helping others and helping the poor. A family is primarily about my spiritual needs being met. The mission is primarily about me meeting other people's needs. And a healthy church is both family and mission. Family is about me, mission is about others, and both are important in a healthy church. Everyone needs to be able to come and be fed. We know that the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the bread of life. And honestly, I think it's so awesome when we gather as a family to be fed at the table. We're at a big table right now, and God is feeding us his word, and we grow on that. I love a hungry church for the word of God. We ought to be fed. You ought to have a hunger for it. One of the greatest things, honestly, in my life is getting to stand right here and feed and watch you soak it up and receive it. Like, it's just amazing to be a part of that. We should be fed. But we also need to be serving at the table. It would be really weird if everyone gathered at your family meal, but no one served it. If mama didn't make it. If mama just walked up and sat down the table and everybody's like, well, who's? All I see is a blank table. Who? Come on, mama. Serve us. Make the food. Who's going to clean up the table? So it's both to be healthy, to both receive and to serve. Can I get an amen? All right, so let me take us to Scripture for a few minutes. I want to take us to John chapter 13 to help us see where Jesus illustrated this final thought to his disciples. In John chapter 13 is the account of the Last Supper. It's where Jesus was with his disciples on the evening before he was arrested and crucified. During this memorable moment, I mean, just consider final moments with his disciples, he teaches them a final lesson. Now, understanding that the disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years, he had loved them and trained them, demonstrated for them how to carry this mission forward, and they're at this moment. But they didn't understand it. They didn't understand mission yet. They were still struggling with me, like about me. They were working through things like competition, like I'm better than him. I'm a better disciple than he is. I want to be the most important disciple, and I want to be the one that gets to sit the closest to Jesus. And I mean, they were all in that mindset there, and you know, who is going to have the best responsibilities in the kingdom of God. And so they were probably pretty shocked when Jesus taught this lesson at the Last Supper. And he wanted them to see that mission is not about selfish desires, but it's about humbly serving the Lord by serving others. And so this is how he taught them. It says here, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. Now, just real quick, the Passover celebration. It was the most important of the Jewish celebrations. It was to commemorate the Israelites being freed from slavery from the Egyptians. And if you read back through the book of Exodus and you see the story, you know that what happened was is they were in captivity to the Egyptians, the Israelites were, and sent, you know, Moses, you know, free my people. You probably heard the story. And God sent these 10 plagues to begin to, you know, soften the hearts or at least straighten out the Egyptian leader so that he would let the people go. On the 10th plague that was to come, God was sending an angel of death to go through the area, through Egypt there, and it was going to kill the firstborn of all the children. And so the Israelites were instructed to take a lamb, sacrifice the lamb, take the blood, and put it over the doorpost. So when that angel of death came through, it would see the blood and pass over their house and move to those that did not have the mark of the blood of the lamb. And so the celebration that they were having at the time, before it says the Passover celebration, the Israelites were looking back to when they had been freed. But interestingly, they were free from slavery, but they were still in bondage to sin. And that's the moment that God chose to send Jesus to the cross so that his blood could be spilled, so that his blood would cover our doorpost, and all that believe in him shall be saved. And so that's the kind of how all this comes together at this Passover celebration. And Jesus knew at this point that his hour had come, that everything in his life was a culmination to this point. Everything was building to this point, all to his life, to this hour that he would die for our sins. Jesus lived his life in anticipation of the coming hour. His purpose was to sacrifice his life for our life. He gave his life so that we can have life. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 20, it says, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others." But it tells us how he served. He gave his life as a ransom for you and I. He gave his life. He served by giving his life. He sacrificed his life for us. And that's where I take my title today of my sermon. You have been served by Jesus. He has gone to the cross. He has paid the price. He has spilled his blood. And now, because of him, we are marked by Jesus. And the curse of mankind passes over us. And we have a relationship with the Father. And we have eternity to look forward to because of Jesus. And he served us in such a sacrificial way. Come on, just give that a quick little praise break. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All right, so back to the story. He's with his disciples. And it says that he had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. And it was time for supper. And the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. So one of the 12 was there. He was going to betray Jesus and turn him over to the Roman soldiers. And so he was there as well. Verse 3 says, "Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and returned to God." So he's restating, he knows who he is, he knows his purpose and what God's going to do, he knows the life he's going to give, he's at that final moment. Verse 4 says, "So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them." He got up from the table. Interesting, they were all reclining at the table. Like they laid down to eat, kind of like on one side. So if someone were to stand up from that moment, it would be very obvious, like announcements getting ready to be made. You know, like, and so they probably assumed at that moment Jesus had some final words for them. Hey, you know, do this, do that, Great Commission. You know, they probably were listening. But he didn't say something. Do you know sometimes your greatest ministry isn't what you say, but by how you serve others? It wasn't what he said, it's what he did that spoke the loudest. In that culture, people walked on dirt roads. They walked in the same places the animals went. So the roads were dirty and there was doo-doo on the road. Isn't that awesome? Maybe I ought to be in youth ministry with you, Lachlan. But it's true, you know that. And so, you know, they're walking along, you know, and they're working it out. They're dodging, and you know they didn't have perfect steps. They didn't dodge the doo-doo every time. So, their feet were dirty. We'll leave it there. When they entered a home, especially for dinner, they would provide, the owner of the home provide a wash basin to clean up. And if the homeowner had the means, then the hired servant would come and humbly kneel and wash the feet. They would take the lowest of duties to wash off their feet. Oh, all right, we're back to adult ministry, sorry. Just having fun. So what happened was Jesus rose, he began to wash their feet. And this had to be a moment for the disciples, though, where light bulbs started going off and they started thinking, oh no, we just walked into the room and no one offered to wash our master's feet. And now he's washing my feet. You see, the disciples gathered around the table to be fed. Jesus gathered around the table to serve. Can you imagine the disciples at this moment when Jesus picked up a bowl and began to wash their feet? I'm sure it dawned on them at that moment that they all walked in the room together. They all walked in. I'm sure they saw. It's custom that the wash bowl was there. They probably, you know, strolled right by and thought, well, who's going to take care of that? Peter, you're crazy. You get to wash the feet. Oh, don't they have a hired servant? Don't they have staff around here to do everything for us? Surely somebody else is going to take care of this job. And they walked right on by. They were realizing it. Probably one of them said, you know, that's your job, not my job. They were just assuming that someone else was going to take care of that task. And so Jesus began to serve them by washing their feet. Let me just apply it in church for a moment. Too many times, put that slide, too many times we assume that someone else will fill the serving role when God is calling us to simply do it. Too many times this is not too hard, but too many times we all walk in the parking lot and assume someone else is going to greet me. And we all walk by the coffee bar, someone else got it. We all walk by the guest table, somebody else has got it, and see the kids' ministry rooms and all the smiling faces, and somebody else has got it, and chairs are set up, somebody's got it. And so it's easy to get kind of lost in that somebody else has got it. And listen, I praise God that somebody else has had it. They're amazing, amazing. We have really good serve teams and so many wonderful people here that sacrifice and they live out this, what we're talking about, Jesus serving others. But I want to just say to you today that it's also your job to both be fed and to serve. And if you're here today and you call this your home, listen, if this isn't your church home, you're a guest out of town, then go back to your church and serve. If you're visiting from another church in town and you just showed up here because of maybe Flourish or something, great, go back to your church and serve. But listen, this is a universal message. Wherever you are in church, you need to be being fed and serving. Amen? So the disciples, they're back with Jesus. Jesus is washing their feet. It says in verse 12, after washing his feet, he put on his robe again. He sat down and he said, do you understand what I'm doing? He's like, do you get this? Do you get the illustration? Do you try to see what I'm trying to demonstrate to you. And he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And he says, since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. So just plain and simple for us today. You've been served. Now serve others. You've been served. He served you. Somebody served you today. You've been served. Now serve others. Is that uncomfortable? No? Good. All right. Cool. Then I'm happy if you're happy. All right. Let me just conclude with a thought here, because I like the story about the Last Supper and the illustration that he used, washing their feet. And the Last Supper, we take communion. We have communion in the corners, and we do it every week as a reminder of what Jesus has done for us. And so when you come to church and we get to that part of our service, I would recommend to you, as often as you come, to take a moment to go to the table, and there's some bread there. There's some juice there. You take the bread, dip it in the juice, you eat it, and you remember what Christ has done. You remember the sacrifice he made. Jesus at this night with his disciples, you know, they took the bread and they passed it around, they broke it, and I'm sure he had a discussion with him that this was his body that would be broken on behalf of the world, you know, his body broken for us. And they took the wine and they passed it around and they took a sip of it, and he probably explained to them that his blood would be shed for them, that his blood would wash the sins away. It would cover us. His blood would cover us. It's just like it's the wine represents that. But his body was broken, and his side was pierced, his back was beaten, and he was bloodied for us, and he did that for us. And I think it's interesting that Jesus used this moment of where he's illustrating what he's going to do for us at the cross by washing the disciples' feet. Because what he did was, is he humbly knelt before them to serve them, and he washed away the dirtiest, most filthy area of their body. And he began to wash away what was the most dirty, because they'd been in the streets. I think he's saying to them that my blood will wash away the dirtiest, hardest, most difficult, most painful things you've ever experienced in your life. I wash it. You just believe in me. And he had this towel wrapped around him. And when he washed their feet, he knelt before them. He didn't take the towel off. He began to use the towel to finish the cleaning process. And what he did is he transferred the dirt from them upon himself. And when he stood up, what was clean was now dirty. And he took the dirt, the sins of mankind, upon himself. And as he stood there after washing their feet and describing to them that he was going to go to the cross and wash their sins away, and the sins of mankind would be upon him, so that we can have a life in Jesus, so that we can have eternity, so that all of my sins, let me get personal, my sins, the sins that I had when I was before Christ, the dumb things that I've done since then, up until this morning, and in the future, that he takes the dirtiest parts of my life and put them upon himself and took it to the cross. He served us. If you're here today and you've never said, I believe in Jesus, then what's happened is the dirt is still upon you. The weight, the guilt, the sin is still upon you. And you're carrying it. You're in your own mess. And Jesus is offering to you today to believe in him and he will transfer your sin, your mess to him, and then you are clean. You are washed. That's why when sometimes we sing about the blood of Jesus, it ought to just move you to tears. The precious blood of Jesus. He washes away our sins. When you go to the table next Sunday, don't just walk over there and, you know, miss the moment. But remember what he did. He served us. Amen, church? Amen. I want to apply this practically for you today because he served us. I can boldly look at you and say, hey, jump in serving, because I want more people to come through these doors and experience the life-giving message and hope of Jesus that saves. And we can have the message, but if we don't step up, level up for serving, then they may miss the experience. And so I'm asking all of us to jump in and serve with us today. That's why we put at your seat a card. Look on the screen. Here's an example of the card. Everybody get your card out. On your seat was a card. It looks like that, just a little bit bigger. This message just got real. It's a good message if you learn something. It's a great message if it changes you and you do something coming out of it. And so on that form, put your name at the top. If you're not serving somewhere in our church, this is your moment to step in. One of the reasons I'm doing this today is we're preparing for Easter. We'll have in 6 weeks the largest attendance our church has had in its history. And there's going to be, I don't know, hundreds of people come in. And it's a day that we've got to be full in with a lot of people serving. We want them to have the greatest experience so that they can hear the message of Jesus Christ. So would you take a look through that? On the top left, Kids Life. Hey, if you're a parent, and you have children that serve in, I mean, children that are in our kids' ministries, I don't want to say require, that's too strong, but I highly, highly, highly say you ought to be serving in that ministry, because if you're giving back so that one mama, one daddy can have the ability to come to the table and eat, and then you serve that same mom and daddy and they can come to the table and eat. So, that's a box all mommies and daddies that have kids using our ministries. You can check off one of those top three boxes. It'd be great. Youth ministry, we've talked about them. If you want to be a leader there, young adults, do it. Hospitality. I put on the very top line. Set up. Woo-hoo. Who's in here as part of the setup team? Awesome, awesome. You guys are great. You guys are great. Thank you. Thank you. Now listen, I brag them all the time, but I'm just going to tell you, don't shoot me, guys, but it's not the hardest job in the world. You're here about an hour and a half, is that right? Yep. You work hard, but it's a great way to serve. Don't let setup team intimidate you. We need people. If there's a place of great need, that would be a place of great need. So male or female, sign up for that. Tear down team, same. Security, greeting, all those, you see them. All the other areas, they're open for you to check off the box. And in a moment when we take up our offering, you can drop your card in the box. This week, we will send you a note. We have training coming up. We'd love for you to be a part of that. And I want to get one last amen because we believe God's going to do great things. Can I get an amen? Amen, amen. Awesome. Let me pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you that you are moving so greatly in our church, and that we are seeing new people come, and we're doing a great job at serving people. But God, the message of the cross, the message that you have transferred our dirt to yourself so that we can be clean and free is so powerful, Lord. And I thank you that you've set me free, and you are setting me free, and you are washing me. If there's someone here today that's never believed in Jesus, would you let this be their moment, God? Would you do me a favor? If you're here and you just want to receive Jesus, you want me to pray for you, would you just raise your hand? You just need to kind of step out and say, I want to believe. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? I see your hand. God bless you. Is there anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Let's all say this prayer together. Join me in this. Dear Father, thank you for Jesus. He came to earth for the purpose of dying for my sins, that he transferred my mess, my sin, to himself so that I can be clean and free. In the name of Jesus, I receive him as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, come on, church, give me an amen. Amen, amen. Bailey.
So good.